الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praises due to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him. And we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is indeed guided. And anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the only one without any partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. In continuation of our series about the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Asma'illah al-Husna, today's khutbah is about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Alim, the Omniscient. Praise be to Allah, the Lord of creations, and peace and blessing be upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the faithful and the honest. O Allah, we know nothing but what you teach us. You are all knower, the wise. O Allah, teach us what is good for us, and benefit us from what you taught us, and increase our knowledge. Show us the righteous things as righteous, and help us to do them. And show us the bad things as bad, and help us to keep away from them. O Allah, our Lord, lead us out from the depths of darkness and illusion into the lights of knowledge, and from the muddy shallows of lusts into the heavens of your vicinity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-Alim, the Omniscient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Almighty says, بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وفوق كل ذي علم عليم. And over all those endowed with knowledge is the Omniscient Allah. It should be noticed that all of Allah's divine names are beautiful, and that each name stands alone and does not depend on any of the other names. Some of Allah's divine names have more impact on people than other names. Concerning Allah's beautiful name, Al-Alim, the Omniscient, He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glory to Him, says, it is Allah who created seven heavens, and of the earth the like thereof, seven. His command descends between them, heavens and earth, that you may know that Allah has power over all things, and that Allah encompasses all things in knowledge. While speaking about His divine creation and revelation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praise belongs to Him, mentioned only two of His beautiful divine names, Al-Alim, the Omniscient, and Al-Qadir, the Omnipotent. This is because man does not obey Allah's divine commands unless he firmly believes that both Allah's divine knowledge and power encompass him. Moreover, Allah's name, Al-Alim, the Omniscient, plays first fiddle in regard to man's belief in Allah. In other words, if you know that Allah, the Omniscient, knows all things, both secrets and open, that he knows your publicity and secrecy, that he sees you while you are in seclusion and in other people's company, and in your travel and settlement, that he knows all of your secret thoughts and intentions, all that you wish or desire, and all that you hope for. If you firmly believe that Allah knows all things, you stick to his divine commands. Therefore, Allah's beautiful divine name, Al-Alim, the Omniscient, and Al-Qadir, the Omnipotent, have the most impact on man's uprightness and obedience. Knowledge can be defined in terms of a stable relationship between two things. Such stable relationship must be indisputable, definitive, provided with sufficient authentic evidence and in conformity with the actual and real state of things. However, Allah's divine knowledge differs completely from that of human beings. His divine knowledge encompasses all things, overt and covert, inner and outer, micro and macro, seen or unseen. It also encompasses the beginning and the end of all things. Consider the human brain. 10 billion cells that have to do with mental judgment, reasoning and imagination, memory and remembrance, vision, hearing, smells, touch, feelings of pressure, among lots of other functions. The most developed and sophisticated man-made machine is too simple and primitive compared to the human body. You may sometimes be amazed at the sight of a certain machine or an instrument because of its tiny or gigantic size or amazing function. Aren't you amazed at the sight of a galaxy that is 16 billion light years away from the Earth? Or of the fact that light travels at a speed of 300,000 kilometers a second? Aren't you amazed when you know that in your human head there are 300,000 hairs, each of which has a nerve, an artery, vein, a fat gland, and a dye gland? Aren't you amazed when you know that in your brain there are 140 billion cells whose function is not known yet? Aren't you amazed when you know that in the retina there are 130 million cells and that 900 nerves run through the optic nerves? Aren't you amazed at the brain, the nerves, and the heart, which pumps 8 cubic meters of blood a day without any cessation? The kidneys, through which the blood of the whole body runs 5 times a day, crossing a distance of 100 kilometers. The body which, in case of any danger, gives order to the suprarenal gland, which in turn gives the 4 orders. One to the heart in order to increase its beating, another to the lungs in order to increase breathing, a third to all blood vessels in order to narrow their inner walls to provide more blood for movement and attack, and a fourth to the liver in order to send more sugar into the blood vessels? Have you contemplated the different parts of your human body, which conforms to the most advanced up-to-date theories of machines? Did you know that the upper part of the thigh bone can bear more than 250 kilograms on either side, or that man can bear 500 kilograms before his ribs are broken? Scientists say that the most developed man-made factory is simply too primitive compared to a leaf, which is indeed a whole factory on its own. It takes 18 minerals from the rising sap. In the leaf there is a chromophore. In the leaf there is a photon of the solar energy. In the leaf there is a nitrogen. In the leaf there is iron compounds. Together with the rising sap, the leaf makes the falling sap, which in turn make flowers and fruits. Does man, for example, have the ability to inject a liquid with something that turns it into wood, iron, or sponge? Is this possible? The liquid is one and the same, but gives different forms of matter. The rising sap of the tree runs along special vessels or pipes. If a tree grows wide, the pipes may get narrowed and the flow of the liquid becomes improper. Therefore, the pipes are provided with spiral fibers to prevent narrowness of pipes as the tree grows. This is the case with plants. But what about birds? A bird's vision is 8 times stronger than human vision. Furthermore, the sense of smell is 1,000,000 times stronger in dogs than in man. About fishes, there are more than 1,000,000 kinds of fishes. About whales, some of which weigh more than 150 tons and have more than 50 tons of flesh, 50 tons of fat, and 90 barrels of oil. A baby whale needs more than 300 kilograms of milk for one sucking, 1 ton of milk per day. An average small meal for a grown-up whale is more than 4 tons. All of the above-mentioned facts manifest clearly Allah's infinite divine knowledge, laws, relationships, and marvelous, most accurate things and phenomena. Like all other liquids, water expands as temperature rises. What happens if it is cooled down below 4 degrees? It begins to expand. How does this happen? Who has made water behave like this? Certainly, it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, the Omniscient. It is well known that man's survival on earth is conditional on this odd property of water. In other words, if water went on contracting down to the freezing point, human life would be impossible on the earth, simply because rivers, seas, and oceans would become solid blocks of ice. Evaporation would cease to be, and so would rain. Plants would die, and so would animals and human beings. Before people talk about whether Allah the Almighty knows or not, there are so many things that have to be considered and contemplated. The whole universe is but a manifestation of Allah's infinite divine knowledge. What would you say about Allah's infinite divine knowledge, which created the whole universe? In this context, Allah Almighty says, which means, "So I swear by the settings of the stars, and verily that is indeed a great oath, if you but know." For indeed are those who do not know about Allah's infinite divine knowledge, except the question whether He knows or not. They know nothing or too little about His great divine name, Al-Aleem, the Omniscient, whose meanings and innumerable manifestations, most delicate as they are, can be encompassed by no human knowledge. The only thing that common people know in this respect is that Allah knows, but they never contemplate the marvelous manifestations or substantiation of His infinite divine knowledge in the universe. There is a great difference between Allah's infinite divine knowledge and human knowledge. Allah's divine knowledge is not derived from things, but the opposite is true, that things are derived from His knowledge, whereas human knowledge is derived from things and is based thereon. Allah honors knowledgeable human when He attributes knowledge to them. But their human knowledge definitely unlike His infinite divine knowledge. In this context, Allah's Messenger, peace be upon him, says, Allah is all-knowing and He loves those who are knowledgeable. But here we have a question. Which branch or branches of knowledge are the noblest and most sublime? Where does a certain branch of knowledge get its eminence and honor? What makes a certain branch of knowledge more honorable than another? If someone has knowledge of how to break locks of shops and rob them, is such knowledge honorable? No. Of course not. Such a person is a robber, and his knowledge, great as it might be, is by no means honorable. If someone has great knowledge of forging banknotes, that is, he has a highly sophisticated equipment, great copiers, special papers, and he has acquired great knowledge and made a lot of study and research, is his knowledge noble or honorable? No. His knowledge of ways of trafficking drugs, which some traffickers most intelligently acquire, an honorable or noble kind of knowledge? No, of course not. However, if someone acquires knowledge about heart disease because people are in bad need of it, you certainly feel that such knowledge is noble and honorable. Hence, the question is, what makes a certain branch of knowledge noble or honorable? The answer is simply the kind of information and its importance makes knowledge honorable and noble or not. In other words, the more noble and honorable the information and its uses are, the more honorable and noble knowledge of such information is. If someone has a lot of accurate and detailed information about singers, males and females, when they get up or go to bed, their kind of food, the messages and holidays they have, do you feel that such kind of knowledge is noble and honorable? Knowledge is not noble or honorable unless its subject matter is as such. On the basis of this principle, one may ask, what is the noblest and most honorable branch of knowledge? The answer is theology, the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The knowledge about Allah and the foundation of religious beliefs. This is because superiority of Allah's words over those of his human slaves is like superiority of Allah himself over his human slaves. We have known lots of disciplines of knowledge, such as physics, chemistry, math, medicine, engineering, psychology, and we have known Allah. The former kind of knowledge has to do with things created by Allah, while the latter has to do with Allah, the Creator Himself. Therefore, the noblest and most honorable knowledge is theology, to know Allah, His beautiful divine names and attributes, His religion. Such is the noblest and most honorable knowledge. To know the way that leads to Allah, it's honorable knowledge. To know Allah's religious, and religion is honorable knowledge. To know Allah's commands and laws as derived from His divine book, the Holy Quran, is honorable knowledge. To know how to be dear to and to be near to Allah and how to attain spiritual enhancement is honorable knowledge. Hence, the noblest and most honorable knowledge is first to know Allah and next to know the way that leads to Him and His divine love. There is one, only one truth in the whole universe, namely Allah, the Almighty, most gracious. Anything that leads you to Him is noblest and most noble and honorable. To learn Arabic, for example, in order to understand Allah's words is noblest and most honorable. In this context, Imam Al-Ghazali, may Allah have mercy on him, says, there are three kinds of knowledge. Knowledge about Allah, knowledge about His divine commands, and knowledge about His creatures. The second and the third of knowledge, that is those that have to do with Allah's commands and creatures, need to be acquired by means of usual methods of learning, such as reading books, attending lessons or lectures, committing pieces of information to memory, and they are usually stored in one's mind and memory. But the first kind of knowledge, that which has to do with Allah Almighty, is completely different. This kind of knowledge conduces to spiritual enhancement. It makes one nearer and more intimate to his Lord. Allah most gracious, it does not need the usual above mentioned methods of learning, but rather persistent strive to come near to Allah and attain His divine love. Also, it is not merely something stored in the mind, but also an active spiritual and emotional state that is conducive to both spiritual and emotional transition. It is by no means easy to attain. Nevertheless, its consequences are magnificent. The verses of Quran confirm that Allah Almighty is Al-Alim, the Omniscient. All knowledge belongs to Him. The verses of Quran describe Him as العليم, the all-knower and العلام, he knows all things irrespective of their quantity or quality. The verses of Quran describe Allah as being علام, the one whose knowledge is infinite. His divine knowledge is absolute and infinite. In other words, when you say that Allah is علام of the unseen, this means that he knows all of the unseen things. His knowledge is absolute and all-embracing. He knows how each creature will end. He knows when and how each leaf falls off a tree. In this context, he, glory to him, says, means, and with him are the keys of the unseen. None knows them but he, and he knows whether whatever there is in the land and in the sea, not a leaf fall, but he knows it. There is not a grain in the darkness of the earth, nor anything fresh or dry, but is written in a clear record. Allah knows what was, what is, what will be, and what is not, if it were, how it would be. The verses describe Allah Almighty as being Al-A'lam, the one who knows more than anyone else. The venerable companion and Khalifa Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, may Allah be pleased with him, was once praised by people. Let's listen to what he said. He whose firm belief in Allah's overweight that of all people said, "O Allah, you know me more than I know myself, and I know myself more than thee know me. O Allah, make me better than thee say. Forgive me what thee do not know about me, and do not blame me for that which thee say about me." Such was Abu Bakr's attitude whenever he was praised. Therefore, Allah the Omniscient attributes knowledge to himself and describes himself as being Alim, Alim and Allam, and Al-A'lam, as above mentioned, but it's not permissible to say that Allah is Muallim, the teacher. In this context, Allah most gracious say, "The angels said, glory to you, we have no knowledge except that which you have taught us. Verily, it is you who are all-knowing, the all-wise." The most gracious Allah has taught mankind the Quran, created man and taught him the eloquent speech. And he, Allah, taught you that which you know not, and ever great is the grace of Allah unto you. Then they found one of our slaves on whom we had bestowed mercy from us, and whom we had taught knowledge from us. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ودعو الله عسى أن تكون هذه ساعة إجابة. Supplicate, may Allah accept our supplication at this time. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم, وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم, في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. What benefit can we get from Allah's beautiful divine name, Al-Alim, the Omniscient? In some religious books, it is mentioned that Allah, the Omniscient, addresses his human slaves, "If you do not know that I see you, there is something wrong with your faith. But if you know that I see, why do you make me the most inconsiderable of those who behold you? If you do not know that Allah, the All-Seeing, sees you, this means that there must necessarily be something wrong or weak about your faith. But if you know that Allah, the All-Seeing, does see you, why do you make him the most inconsiderable of all those who see you?" To this effect, Allah, the All-Seeing, says, means they may hide their crimes from men, but they cannot hide them from Allah, for He is with them by His knowledge. When they blot by night in words that He does not approve, and Allah ever encompasses what they do. We should worship Allah as if we see Him. For even if we do not see Him, He sees us. And some religious scholars say the state of consciousness in which a true believer should always be as regards his relationship with his Lord, Allah, most gracious, means to feel that Allah is always with you. And such feelings make you both afraid of Him and dutiful to Him. It is Allah who created seven heavens, and of the earth the like thereof, seven. His command descends between them, heavens and earth, that you may know that Allah has power over all things, and that Allah encompasses all things in knowledge. You will never stick to Allah's divine religion and commands unless you firmly believe that His divine knowledge and power encompass you. يا علام الغيوب اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا دائما ونسألك قلبا خاشعا ونسألك علما نافعا ونسألك يقينا صادقا ونسألك دينا قيما ونسألك العافية من كل بلية. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من علم لا ينفع ومن قلب لا يخشع ومن نفس لا تشبع ومن عين لا تدمع ومن دعاء لا يستمع. اللهم إنا نسألك التوبة الكاملة والمغفرة الشاملة والمحبة الجامعة والمعرفة الواسعة والأنوار الساطعة والحجة البالغة والدرجة العالية. وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم وأقم الصلاة.